Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, here we rolling and roll, man.
Let's go.
What's going on in there?
Let's go.
Let's roll. All right, let's get back to Lynn Smith. All right, Lynn, we're back. Thanks for holding.
You bet, man. You bet. Not a problem. Anyway, we got the redfish action is strong, and deer season's right around the corner.
Life is good right now if you're an outdoors person.
I'm telling you, man. Looks like we're going to get some rain this afternoon, though. They're talking 80% chance here.
I know. That's what they're calling here, 80% today and tonight and in the morning. Oh, goodness.
Well, we can use it, so I'm not complaining. We got an inch. That little front, this front came in, we got an inch of rain, and that ground soaked it up like it was nothing. So
I think I got about an inch and a half, and we don't need any over this way. We'll give it all to you guys. Hopefully South Texas will get a lot.
Yeah. See, we didn't get any of that rain. I mean, this is the first rain we've had.
I know.
I mean, we haven't had any. You know, it's been dry. I was down there at the ranch, about a week ago, and it was just powder dry. Unbelievable. And they've been needing it real bad. And this friend of mine, he put a road in on his ranch down out of Freer, and he put a whole bunch of caliche on the road. He said, man, I need some rain. He said, it's awful dusty. He said, man, that caliche makes some dust. I guarantee you.
It does. Boy, it's like talcum powder when it gets all dry like that. Golly.
No, it does. It does. And I've been holding off going down there shooting does because that buddy of mine that processes deer for me. And that friend of mine said, man, we need to start shooting these does on my place. He sent me a picture of a protein feeder, and all four of the little pipes that come out of the protein feeder had a doe's nose stuck in them. They were eating that protein, boy. He said, time to start shooting does.
It is. That's right.
Yep.
Big money.
Yes, it is. They are gobbling it up, I guarantee you. When you can go through that much protein, man, it's time to get them.
You know, and them deer, they like that protein. They get used to it, and they don't even want corn anymore.
Oh, I'll tell you what. A few years ago, I was down at the ranch, and I was just scouting. You know, I was sitting in a stand, and we were out of protein. And I corned right in front of this protein pen, and here came two big does, couple of yearlings, and they came walking down Sendero, and they came trotting over toward the protein pen, walked right over the corn, and then walked right over the corn and jumped in the protein pen and went around to every deal, every pipe, and then left. And they were skinny. You could see their rib cages and their hip bones. And I went back to the ranch house. I told that manager, I said, let me tell you something, man, we need to get some protein. Because these deer are dependent on it.
Yeah.
You know, they get dependent on it, and that's all they want. And so what we did is we got a load of protein in, and we started filling protein feeders right away. We got 11 tons of protein in, and those deer ate that 11 tons in a week and a half.
Man.
It was gone. They emptied the feeders. Yeah. They just hoovered it, man. And, I mean, you know, that's not, you know, pigs aren't eating it and coons aren't eating it.
No, that's just the deer, yeah.
Yeah. So they were hungry, man. They needed it. But I tell you what, it sure brought them back, man. You could tell a big difference. You know, they were healthy and fat, just rolling in fat. But I saw, I went to one stand earlier in the season, and we had quite a few eight-pointers at this one stand, and we were trying to get rid of some of these eight-pointers. And I told that manager, I said, I'm going to go to that number one stand. We got too many eight-pointers there. And I think I'll shoot one of them. He said, yeah, go ahead and pop one because we got too many there. So it was getting daylight, and I could barely see, and I could see some movement. And when it got daylight, there were 5 8-pointers, big mature eights, and they were chasing this doe back and forth, back and forth.
Goodness.
And they were all broken up except for one. And he was real wide. He was 20 inches wide, but his tines weren't tall. And I thought, man, if you stop, you're in trouble. Well, he finally stopped. And I popped him. He just dropped in his tracks. Well,
dirt nap.
I couldn't hardly. Yep, took a dirt nap. And I couldn't hardly get him on the game hauler, you know. So I had to call
that heavy? Yeah, that's.
Oh, yeah. I had to call this young boy that works on the ranch there, and I said, come over and help me. It was raining and nasty, and he came over and helped me get that deer on the game hauler. And I told him, I said, this deer weighs over 200 pounds. Well, we got him on the game hauler, got him back to the ranch house. You know, he was a big mature buck, and got him, hung him up and weighed him. And on the hoof, he weighed 235. And he had no fat on him whatsoever. He had been running those does so hard.
They didn't tell him what he weighed. He was a 250 before he started running does, I bet. 250 plus.
Oh, I bet. I bet
what
he was.
What a beast.
Easy.
You know, for a Texas white-tailed deer, that's a giant, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And those other bucks were the same size. Those others that were with him. And they had big bases on them. I guarantee you some had bases 5.5 inches in diameter.
Oh,
you know,
so
broken up. Oh, man. They'd all been fighting.
You know, I don't know what was it about six or seven years ago, I shot a 9-point at Blaine's Ranch. Last hunt, I wanted to go home that morning. I said, oh, no, let's make one more hunt. Let's do something different. And I was ready to get on the road and head back to Baytown. We made that last hunt, and it's looking pretty bleak. We're seeing a lot of young deer and everything, and this big old, I mean, it looked like a horse came out at the end of that. There was like a once in there, it had a cul-de-sac in the end of it where they'd turn the truck around after they'd corned the road, and he walked out there on a couple of does, and he looked like a big old stallion. He was huge, and he turned it. He didn't have any brow tines. He did, but they were like an inch long. But it was a 7-plus-year-old deer, and I smoked him, and that deer weighed 220 pounds. And that's on a ranch with no protein, no nothing, just corn and whatever nutrients they get out of the wild there. Me and Blaine reached down there to pick that buck up, throw it in the back of his truck, and I said, man. I said, here, you get up in there, and I'll hand him your horns, and you just grab him, and I'll get the back end and shove him in there. And we stopped and picked my nephew up, and he had shot a cull 8. And we threw him in there next to that buck, and Sean goes, man, I thought this was a big deer, and we laid it next to that one. You know, just, you know, down there you just don't see deer that big, that body-wise like that. And that thing is huge.
No. You know, I was telling a customer, you know, I said, you know, in the hill country, you know, you have ground shrinkage.
You shoot
a deer and you walk up to him and you go, oh, man, I thought he was bigger than that, you know. Well,
right.
In South Texas, it's just the opposite. You walk up to him and you go, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah.
You know, they look bigger once you get up to them because their bodies are so big, their horns don't look that big.
Right.
Until you get up to them. I mean,
exactly,
it's incredible.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
some of those
hill country deer, they're barely bigger than German Shepherds. I've seen some of
it.
And, man, it makes a rack look really good.
Yeah, I had a hunter get buck fever on me a few years back, and this buck would go to the protein pen, and he wouldn't come out of the protein pen about 300 yards away. And I told him, I said, we'll get that deer tomorrow. I said, I'll corner him about halfway down this Sundara, and we'll get him out. The does will come to the corn, and we'll get him out of that protein bed. So the next morning, sure enough, man, here he came. And that buck was coming to those does, and I said, now, you see that hump in the Sundara? I said, that's about 125 yards. When he gets to that hump, you shoot him right there. Well, boy, that buck was running toward those does, and sure enough, man, the does shot off in the brush. The buck ran right up to that hump and turned broadside and stood there for a good 8 to 10 seconds. And I had my hands over my ears. I said, shoot him. Shoot now, man. And he didn't shoot, and the buck stood there and then ran in the brush.
Oh, boy.
And the guy pulled his rifle in. I said, why did you shoot him? He said, I don't know. He said, I had him twice. I could have killed him twice. Well, he just froze. Well, this guy was from Florida. Well, he'd never seen bucks this big, you know, being in Florida.
Yeah.
And so I was helping a guy skin a deer at the camp there. And this old boy is a trophy hunter. Walked out there and he said, was that a big buck that old boy froze on? I said, oh, yeah, he's a good one. I said, he'll score pretty good. He said, well, he's leaving, and I'm in a deer contest in Tyler, and I want to kill that deer. If you think he'll score, I said, oh, yeah, he'll score real good. So he went over there the next morning, and he shot that deer, and it was a 9-point that scored 178.
What a beast.
And his main beams, get this, his main beams are 27 inches long.
Golly.
And they just come out and sweep forward. I'll have to show you a picture of him at the fishing show.
Man, that was a longhorn.
he's a beast. And the funny part about it is they had that deer mounted, and they hung him over the coffee pot at the lodge. So every year when that guy from Florida would come down to hunt, he'd have to stare at that deer head hanging over the coffee pot.
Oh, boy.
It'd be a reminder that he froze on that deer.
Yeah, don't freeze. Yeah. Don't freeze.
But those little old deer in Florida are real small, you know, and so you'd never see anything like this. It's funny.
Buck fever.
And he'd come down every year, and we even rattled up some deer for him, you know, some pretty good bucks. And to my knowledge, I don't think he ever killed a real good one.
Huh.
You know, after seeing that one.
Yeah.
He just never saw one he wanted to shoot after seeing that one. And we rattled up some pretty good ones for him. But it's like I had a buck walk right by the stand one day with a guy in the blind, and he was supposed to just shoot a management deer. And there was a buck came by the stand, and I said, now you can't shoot that deer. You know, he's a trophy deer, and we're just gonna let him walk. And we're not going to take him until next year. And that deer scored 188. And I said, you know, you can't shoot that deer. Well, then about an hour later, a nice deer, a management deer, but he was like a 10-point, but he wasn't a real heavy 10, came down the road, and I said, you want to shoot that deer? He said, not after seeing that one. And I said, well, you couldn't shoot that one.
That's right. You got one here you can shoot. It's a management buck. Take him.
Yeah. And he didn't want to shoot it. I said, oh, my goodness. Yeah. But, seeing those big ones spoils you, man. It does.
I know the feeling. It does. It really does.
Gosh. Yeah. It does.
It'll do it.
Anyway, our necks are swelling, man. It's that time of the year.
It is. It's a good time to be a Texan right now.
It is, man.
Well, Lynn, I got a roll, my friend. If somebody wants to call you about coming down to POC and getting in on that redfish action going on right now, how do they get a hold of you?
Yes, sir, man. They give me 361-935-6833.
You got it. Lynn, enjoyed it. You have a great Sunday, and we'll be talking to you.
All right, Mick.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Keep your powder dry, man.
It always is. It's always dry. Later, man.
All right, man.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On this open line fun Sunday, it's 521 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down Rockport Way and let's talk to Captain Billy Koshin. I'll just call her Captain Cupcake. Billy, what's going on this morning?
Good morning. Well, thanks to load the mule up. We're headed up... Did the festival here this weekend, been fishing, and now I'm loading the mule and headed to go to the deer. Up
to the deer camp.
Man,
wow.
That's it.
Staying busy. That'll keep you out
staying
of trouble.
Very busy. And then come back tonight and hook up, and I got a trip for the morning.
Wow, you are busy.
We had the Sand Fest down here, in Rockport, Saturday, Mickey. I guarantee you it was blowing every bit of 45 miles an hour. And it got down to 42 here.
Man.
It was 42 here. I don't know what it was in Houston, but it was rocking and rolling. And I know they had, Babes on Baffin this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I wanted to shout out to Sally Black. Aubrey passed away.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. That was a shocker.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a kicker. Yep. That was
how
a kicker.
Do you know how old Aubrey was?
No, I don't. I know that Sally's around my age, and I'm 58. I'm 59. Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah.
So she's around my age. So he was around her age.
That's what I thought.
He wasn't that old.
I didn't think he'd hit the 6-0 yet. That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know the whole story of it or anything. I just got somebody was plugging me up on my phone because it was just like, what? You know? So.
Well,
he always takes the good one. He was a good fisherman.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Very good.
Yeah. He sure was. But that's what my plan is. So, boy, the other night the Astros did really good. And then what happened yesterday?
Well, you gotta see the ball and hit the ball. we didn't do either one. Hey, Granky kept us in it. I mean, you know, holding a Yankee powerhouse like that down to three runs like you did, you know, we got to give our pitchers some support. But it's kind of been a problem in the past with us. Look when Nolan Ryan pitched here. He'd allow one or two runs, still lose a game. So
I remember them days. Yes, I do.
Very frustrating.
Yes.
I know the talents you have and the bats you got, and they're just not finding any holes. And maybe it'll turn around tonight. Best thing about slumps is coming out of them. They need to heat up and go crazy the next four games. Let's get this over with.
That's right. Well, I'm excited about that. That's why I was like, all right, let's load this up and roll it out. Let's go.
Well, but tonight's game will determine how this series goes.
If we lose tonight, definitely.
We won't get swept because Cole will pitch when we go to New York, and I'm sure we'll probably win that one if we can score one or two runs, but we'll just see.
No, it's exciting, though. It's exciting.
It is.
I mean, keeps you young.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I am fixing to roll
sometimes.
Up.
Are you fixing to
Oh, come on. I'm fixing to get out of here.
All right. The feeders
are clicking.
All right. Well, I wanted to check in, see if your fishing was still hanging in there.
They are, and fishing's been really good. We had that. We've had heavy south winds and a lot of water, and the tide finally switched on us, Mickey. Oh my gosh, the water's been so high.
Yeah, it has.
And so we finally got that north wind, and it blew it. And I mean, not at where we used to have it, but it's blown it out. But and then it switched back around yesterday afternoon, southeast. And then right now we got a little, it's kind of cool out here this morning, very light wind. But the big fish are running through the guts out to the deeper water right now. I mean, they're everywhere. Yeah,
right. They're
just, so fishing's dynamite and hunting's going to be dynamite. I love this time of the year, man.
You and me
Sports
both.
Sports and hunting.
That's it. Well, cool.
So what can be wrong with that?
Well, if somebody wants to call
tired.
You.
You're tired.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to come down and hook up with you, Billy, give them a number out and a web address.
You can get me at sportfishingtexas.com or 361-688-8859. And y'all have a blessed day. And if you ain't got a gun in your hand, you should have a rod in your hand.
That's right.
This is the season to be going.
Have something in your hand. There you go.
That's right.
Okay, Billy.
Peace out. Y'all have a blessed day.
Fill in feeders. See you later.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. That's Billy Koshin down in Rockport. All right. It's open line Sunday. If any sickos are awake out there, you care to give us a call, let's roll, man. 713-572-4610. Give Austin a call. He'll get you up on the board, and we'll get you on as soon as possible. All right. Next up, let's go to Barry on three. Barry, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Mickey. It's cold up here.
And where are you at? In Minnesota?
I'm in Duluth, Minnesota, right on the St. Louis Bay, St. Louis River. And I work at a resort up here still. But anyway, I've seen a lot of teal heading south with this cold front. Yeah, it's 36 here today this morning. Wind's north at 4, but it's not too bad. I sent you all a bunch of pictures of all the big fish I've been catching up here. The guy that takes the phone calls got them on his phone. You'll see them.
Yeah, but he told me about them.
Well, anyway, everybody up here tries to teach me how to walleye fish. Say, you need to fish like this with these spinners or troll with the boat. And I said, nah, hogwash. I'm going to fish Texas style with a big bait, big minnow. And so I go get these what's known as chub minnows, and they're the size of a good-sized finger mullet. And I hook them in the lips and throw them out there, and either with a slip sinker or a jig head. And, man, I'm catching walleye in the 20-inch range and up, and pike and giant pike. And we got one muskie over 40 inches, lots of bass. I got one. No bait too big, a 7-pound smallmouth bass on a huge bait.
That's a
geese numbers, I'm afraid fellas might be down this year because I didn't see a lot of babies. You know, I didn't see a lot of geese like I did last year. So the geese numbers might be down this year when they start. They haven't left here yet. They're still here. So they're gathering.
I got a lot of friends hunting and North Dakota and Canada and everywhere else up there, and boy, they're smoking them. Mallards and Canadian geese.
Oh, I've seen lots of ducks now. Oh, yeah. The geese. The geese are funny. They're on their own, but the ducks, they've been coming through in large numbers, about 30 or 40 at a time. You'll see them flying low to the water and moving real fast, heading south. So.
Bring
the birds are heading your way. Yeah, they're heading down there to, I watched the weather, and y'all, I'm sorry for y'all's bad flood again. It hit right at home. I think about you every time when that weather hits like that, Mickey.
That's
right where I went to elementary school, right there in Mount Bellevue. I was thinking, golly, whoa. So
yeah, we didn't get it too bad in our area there. I'm in Beach City, which is right there close to Mount Bellevue. And total about 10 inches maybe. But our friends over the east, once you get up there
towards
past Anahuac, they got in one night, they got like 42 inches. It was bad.
No, gosh. How about High Island in that area?
Well, I don't know what they got down there. I know all that marsh flooded big time. But
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It was pretty tough.
I think it's time for y'all's big specks to start showing back up. Yeah, it's that time of year.
That's place to go right now.
You know, I was fixing to say that. You read my mind because that's what I was thinking, and that's the way I think. I knew it. You know, it's just like that sixth sense. You know where they're going to be. They're going to be here.
Yeah, Galveston Bay's just been through so much.
It got flushed.
It's going to take us some time to come back and get our big trout populations up like they used to be.
Yeah, it got flushed. But, yeah, hidden little pockets down there in the south, you should find some good ones still hiding out. I always do. I come down every April, you know, and I slaughter them. You know, I just go right to them, it seems like. So there's no excuses for you guys that live down there. Come on now. Y'all get chances of them fish for them more than I do. So. But I love it up here, and I love it down there, so I'm torn between the two of them, Mickey. So, but I'll be coming down for a vacation in April. I'll come down there and do some fishing around everywhere.
I went last year.
Yeah, I went with guide out of Matagorda last year. We found a few good ones, but I found a few good ones on my own too. So I want to hear you catching a big one. Post a big one online for me.
I hadn't caught a big trout in a long time. What I call a big trout. A big trout to me is, you know, 8+.
Eight plus. Yeah. Yeah. And, well, I've been talking to old Mike Williams a lot about our old spots there. And, you know, a lot of them old spots that used to have piers no longer have piers, and they're no longer highly pressurized the way they used to be at night and everything. So I think some of them spots might still hold some good trout in the summer and in the spring. So,
well, we do our best.
Yeah, go out to them. It's changed with hurricanes and time, but I don't know if there might be a few old pylon stumps down there in the where them surf piers used to be. You might find them in there somewhere and dig up a few big monsters. But
Barry, thanks for weighing in. I got a break I got to get to, but good hearing from you. And you,
I'm still alive, still doing it. Okay, go look at my picture
up there. All right,
buddy. I am. I'll send you some geese.
Have a good one. See you, man.
Okay. See you later.
All right.
In tight line.
All right. What's going on?
Let me clear my voice. Me.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
But anyway,
how are you, Ronnie? I know you're a heck of a dog trainer. How are you at training wives?
I stumped you with that one, brother. If you could put that electronic collar on them, I guarantee you could train.
You could get their attention real quick, couldn't you?
They hunting and fishing all the time, and it ain't working. Beats all I've ever seen.
Live to fish, man.
Shoot, that there's funny. I don't care who you are.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
I was wishing, he was wishing, we were kissing. I was getting better than a hornet in an open.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 540 right here in the Bayou City. It's Open Line Fun Sunday, and we don't have many callers this morning. It's a little slow. It's all right. You can get over that loss last night. We'll forgive you. Call in here and cry about it if you want to. No. We're talking fishing and hunting. Give us a call at 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. All right, let's get to our phone calls. We've got Kayak Dave. He's up and at him this morning. Dave, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm sleepy, but I'm up and at 'em like you said.
That's it. I stayed up. I weathered the storm last night, and I didn't sleep too bad. I usually, after a loss like that, I have a little trouble going to sleep, but I didn't last night, so.
Well, you know me, Mick. I'm certified sicko. I'm up 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know it. You're ate up with it, brother.
Oh, it's bad. I've been cousin fishing, Mick. You're talking about some fun. But anyway,
cousin fishing.
I got cousins from West Charles, Louisiana, and some of them can outfish me, and some of them need to be taking some lessons. But anyway, had a group that was going to Matagorda, and I suggested they get with Charlie P. Tommy Alexander, and they couldn't book neither one of them, so they come booking some guy, and they was telling the guy about what I had been catching, and the guy told me, I don't give a dang what somebody had been catching over there. And anyway, so they went off and went, and me and a cousin went, and needless to say, me and my buddy got into the trout. I caught a 25-incher, and
that's a good one.
Oh, it was surf runners, though, Mick. These guys come out there silver as a cat and picking brand new coin and running. That 25-incher fought as good as any bread.
Well, they fight good, man. Those tide runners, they fight hard.
Man, I done caught 100 reds this year with no trouble. And that 25-inch thick, he was thick too. He ran all over the place. But anyway, Mick, what's turned out to be the best bait? You can throw anything you want out there. as much as you want, however you want, the best bait is the live mullet, about 3.5-4 inches. For some reason, you throw one of them out there, you better hang on. You ain't gonna be out there alone. It's gonna be NFL, not for long. I give them over and under about a minute max. But other than that, we've been playing some pretty good golf. We're actually hitting the ball pretty good. We ain't got no pain. And we're feeling pretty strong, and we're murdering it, and we're about to go beat all these 68-year-old guys. Ain't no 68-year-old guy, unless you got a tour card, going to be able to hang with, because I'm hitting it good, and I'm bragging. I'm bragging. The key, look, you got to be good to brag now, because you get out there bragging, they'll send you home in a minute. Same way with fishing. Well, anyway, other than that, Mick, we doing good. It was nice to your old mudman of George last week.
Yeah, it was. It's good to know he's still hanging in there, man, hanging around.
So what we got to have, our patron saints. And George, to me, even though there's a ton of guys down there in the Tony Gonzalez area that can kayak their butts off and fish, mudman of George still was the patron saint of the kayakers to me. I like the way that guy moved. I watched him one day, he must have caught about 55 trout, and I might have caught 12. I couldn't catch none for watching him. I'm steady looking.
He's a good fisherman. He's well accomplished, and he can throw a variety of baits. And
not only that, he's nice.
He's fished with me on several occasions. You know, he'll come with John, and we've had some good trips together. And George, he can do it. He's a fisherman, man.
Mick, I run into him at Bucky's about 3:30 in the morning. And he had that old green wilderness tarpon sitting on the back of the truck. And I pulled up there and we went to talk. And I was like, man, we got to leave. We got to forget all of this and go catch some fish. We're going to talk a little bit. Other than that, we're doing fine, man. People are dropping like flies.
I know it.
Get on the guys. Look, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, when you reach 70 years old, you're going to have to be in shape like the kayaker. Other than that, you go out there. Now, Mick, I can wade. I'm throwing a cast net. I'm stumbling around in the mud, and I was like, it hit me the other day. Wait a minute. I couldn't do none of this. None of this for years.
Yep.
But look at me now.
I'm just hobbling around too, man. I could fall
face first in that mud back then. And now I'm tap dancing.
There you go. Well, that's good. It
just shows, man, you got to rehab hard. If you want to play hard, you got to rehab hard. Anyway, there it goes. If you want to play hard in Texas, you got to rehab hard in
Texas. That's it. I played hard all my life. I'm ready to enjoy it now. I'm laid back now. I still wade. I go through all the motions, but I don't give it what I used to give it.
Well, I couldn't for the longest, and now that I can get out.
Well,
there.
I have to pace myself. I know my limitations, and I just I stay out of that knee deep mud now.
Oh, Mick, I couldn't even hardly stand up out there. I would get in a yak and have me a chair or something to sit on. I'd go find me a good spot, and I would sit there and barely move because I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm all over the place.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But
you
anyway,
paid the price for it. I mean, you're the robo fisherman now. You've everything rebuilt.
I keep saying 6 surgeries, but actually 7 surgeries in about 2 years, and
yeah,
that might be too many.
That's a lot. That's a lot of time under the knife right there, and all that anesthetic.
But look, shout out to the Houston Medical Center and the kind of stuff we got now. Because hey, 20 years ago, I would have been 48. Ain't no way I feel any better at 48 than I'm feeling right now. I mean, I got my Billy back. I'm ready to do something.
Well, get after it, man.
All right, Mick. Get
go
some
wear
other
all that, go wear all that stuff out.
Hey,
all right, Dave.
It's just like that BG maintenance plan. You better be ready to fix some stuff.
All right.
All right, we out of here.
Hey, see you, man. Go get them. All right. Take care. Boy, he's fired up. He sounds like Richard Totch early in the morning nowadays. Yeah, I can tell just from talking to him a year ago to now the difference. Got some spring in his step. All right, let's go up to Conroe now. Let's talk to our good friend Kelly. Hadn't talked to him in a while. Kelly, what's going on, man?
Hey, Captain Mick, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Well, I was kind of torn about calling. I don't have much going on, but I was so entertained before the break. I had to call. That's prompted me. Sometimes we can hear your blood pressure change on radio.
Oh, I'm good, man. That's
yeah, you are. You are laid
that's
back.
That's how I roll. That's how I roll, man. That's just I can't hide my emotions, or I tell it like it is. That's just
my call is entertaining. Is entertaining because I can see your face.
Anyways, what's been happening? You've been doing any bow hunting this year?
I shot four pigs, but I recovered two of them. Yeah, yeah. But most
pig eradicator, get them all, man. I'll let you kill as many as you want, Kelly. Shoot them all.
I'm trying. Well, they're fun, you know, and they're good practice for me.
Heck yeah. Got it.
I don't own land, so I'm glad we have them. Sure. Sorry to everybody that they're a problem for, but that last one I shot was the smallest I've ever hit. Live weight, he was about 7 pounds.
Man, that's a piglet.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I bet that barbecue up nice.
Yeah, I went to the trouble to scald and scrape him and, you know.
Oh, you went old school on him then. You went.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you don't get one that size very often.
You know, I've never eaten one that small. I bet that was some tender stuff.
It's still in the fridge.
Little milk-fed pig.
Yeah, pretty much. He got separated from everybody, was out there, you know, dang thing so cute. You walk up to it like, oh, wow, but that's pork. So
well,
I always wanted
to. Got him something else, would have had.
Yeah, he would have been coyote. He'd have been coyote food that night, probably.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I walked up to him. I thought about trying to catch him, and I looked at these woods around me. I was going to have to run and dive in, and I said, no. Anyways, so that's all just pigs so far. These good, perfect conditions, they show up about the time I got to go back to work. So.
Oh, naturally. Oh, yeah. It's amazing how it works out that way sometimes.
Oh, well.
You know,
when
you called, I thought about Rollover Pass. You know, you used to spend a lot of time down there. You caught some big fish around that pass
Yeah.
It's a shame it's closed.
Absolutely. I mean, they still hadn't started putting dirt in, but, you know, how slow that kind of stuff moves, and we'll see. I mean, I'll really believe it when I see it, but, you know, it's hunting time, and I just, it sickens me, and I don't want to be around it or hear it. I've had enough.
No,
I know the fight's still going. I know the fight's still going. I hope it's. You know, I hope we win. I hope something good happens, but I'm not stepping on the peninsula again till spring, you know. So, and if it's dirt when I drive over it, I'm going to go fish elsewhere.
I got you.
I mean, I mean, the pass wasn't my favorite place to fish. It's not beautiful, and you're not in the wilderness, but what you can do there was just unmatched anywhere.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to know how many double-digit trout swim through that pass over the years.
I told, you know, some of my buddies down there that are there every day, if they do like put up a berm or a wall or something and drain it before they start, I don't know why they would. I don't know, maybe the current would sweep all their fill. Anyway, if they were to dam that thing off and pipe the water out, man, I'd love to see it and walk around down there for
see what's on the bottom down there. I bet there
about,
is. I bet you can mine all the lead that's on the bottom of that pass.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All the leaders and weights and jig heads, and I bet there's a ton of it.
Absolutely, because I mean, there were days when I'd donate, you know, $75 worth of tackle and be, okay, that's it. I got to go home.
Hell, I'm out. I got to go.
Yep.
I've run out of everything.
Box is empty.
Well, we used to fish Sabine, that would happen. I mean, you on a heavy day when you couldn't drift real good, but you were trying to do that dredging stuff for your customers, when those fish would be stacked in the bottom end of that lake on all those oyster beds, that's got to be the most lead on the bottom in the state of Texas anywhere, Sabine Pass.
Huh.
Jesus.
I've only, I tried to familiarize myself, touch every part of the coast, and I have, but a lot of it I've only been to a few times, and Sabine I've only been to a few times.
Boy, it used to be one hell of a fishery. You know,
yeah,
back when, in the 90s and early 2000s, golly, we used to catch some toad trout over there. Jesus.
I had some fun on that Repmont Wall. A topwater junkie.
Oh, yeah, that was a great place just to walk up and down those rocks on that levee road and just,
absolutely.
Man, you could smack some big trout with topwaters off that levee.
Yeah.
It'll come back. It'll come.
And one thing about rollover closing is that'll put me back on that 98% topwater fishing. You know, that's about all I throw all day, every day.
That's it. Nothing like a topwater bite when they're crushing them. Nothing like
it. It's like a big deer onto the bow. You know, it's the pinnacle of the sport.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, so if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go for the best. That's what I do.
Well, we love what we do.
Absolutely.
Can't take that away from us. They're trying a little bit at a time, but they...
I know it, man. I know
they're
it
not,
makes you want
they're
to
They're not going to win. We are.
Yeah.
They cut the limit to one. I'm still going. I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the tug is the drug.
Yeah, they might force me to be an outlaw before it's said and done, but so be it.
That's right. Those are our fish, too.
That's right.
All right, bro.
Well, I'll let you get on, man. Hopefully I'll call you with a big old deer story before the year's up.
Definitely do. I want to see it.
All right, man. I think I'm
keep
ready.
Keep chugging along. That's it.
All right.
Hey, everybody, every dog has his day, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right, Kelly, good to hear from you. You have a great one, my friend.
You too.
All right, see you. All right, that's Kelly from Conroe. Really good guy. Great outdoorsman, too. He respects the resource. He enjoys it.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.